Are you all right?
I'm not bad, buddy. How are you?
Come on, very good indeed. You weren't there last night. No, you haven't been to see the gig, have you?
I haven't, unfortunately, okay. but I hear it was lots of famous people.
Yeah, I didn't see Matt Damon, although he was there last night. I did see Colin Farrell in the distance, all right, just outside, freezing cold, too. And two seats in front of me, Enda Kenny. It was hilarious. When he was leaving, like, there was at least three people on the steps on the way up. They got their selfies. It was hilarious watching it.
Forget
all.
Matt Damon, we have Enda Kenny.
Yeah, exactly. It was just very funny. Anyway, what are you here to talk about? Oh, yes, movies on the big screen. Tell me about movies on the big screen. Rory Cashin, entertainment journalist.
Yes, sir.
It's a good weekend, isn't it?
It is. You can really feel that we're heading into Oscar season because everything this week kind of has an Oscar-y vibe to it.
Does everything have to kind of be released by December 31 in America? Is that it for Oscar at the end of January?
Yeah, for the accreditation, right.
Or February, whatever it is.
So we will have everything else like Star Wars and I guess The Revenant all has to be shown before then because they're the last kind of big ones that are still looking
the
for.
The Revenant is again?
The Leonardo DiCaprio one.
He said it's the most difficult movie he's ever made.
He had to up sticks from Canada and reshoot a lot of it in Argentina.
Right. It looks like a bit of a grueling film.
It does. The trailer's fantastic, though.
And Star Wars. Can I take a week off when that comes out? No interest.
I think at the poor people in the cinemas, I can only imagine the bedlam that they're going to experience for the week that's out.
Right. Just as a matter of interest, the first three Star Wars that we saw were really, in terms of the story, 4, 5, and 6.
Hmm.
Then the next three came out 20 years later, and they were 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Is this seven?
It's not like pre-1 or something. No. This is following on from the ones from the 70s and 80s.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of following on from 3. I'm completely confused. Sorry. Whatever. Anyway, go on. Tell me about it. What's big in the cinema this weekend?
I guess the big one this week, one of the big ones this week is Bridge of Spies, which is Spielberg's comeback. Is written by none other than the Coen brothers.
Wow, that's very cruel. Spielberg's comeback. Has he been in the doldrums?
He's taken 3 and a bit years off, and I think that's the longest gap he's ever had in his career.
Oh, right, just a gap, not like misses.
Well, War Horse was a bit meh. But this one is a Cold War thriller with Tom Hanks playing the lawyer for a Russian spy who has to organise the exchange with an American spy with the Russians, but neither nation and neither spy is actually saying that they are spies and that they actually have spies.
So classic Cold War espionage thriller.
Yes, it's certainly gone for like a Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy vibe.
Right.
But considering that it's Spielberg, the Coen brothers, Tom Hanks and everything involved, it doesn't quite add up to the sum of its parts. It's still quite good, but I was expecting to be completely blown away and instead it's very wordy and not particularly thrilling.
Yeah. Well, like, what are you looking for? A car chase over some kind
just
of...
Just a bit of tension. It's right. A spy movie. I was expecting like a bit of, you know, back and forth, you know, some proper scenes where the actors are, you're left kind of, you know, biting your nails and stuff. But no, it's just a lot of people talking about politics and how difficult it can be to swap spies over. It's very, very drama. Instead of being the political thriller it's being sold as.
It's 19 early 60s, is it?
Yeah, it's just
and does it have any resonance today in terms of, things haven't changed much or any of that?
Kind of, in the way that like we're seeing in the film, the Berlin Wall is just in the midst of being built.
Yeah.
And you can still sense that whole kind of Eastern Bloc going into Russia section is still a bit of a mess, obviously. So, yeah, you can definitely see some parallels.
You know, Spielberg with Tom Hanks, he doesn't often make things terribly easy. So, like, I presume there's a little bit of criticism, would there be, about what the lengths America goes to protect American interests?
Yeah, like it's interesting and it's clever. You can tell that America, they wanted to give this Russian spy a fair go at the legal system, but they also don't actually want this spy to get away with being a spy. So Tom Hanks' character has to play like a very two-handed deal where he's trying to do right by this Russian spy because he sees him as a human being rather than the traitor that the rest of the country sees him as. And he's trying to get his own American spy back in return. And he knows that the East Germans and the Russians are doing the exact same thing that he is.
But you haven't mentioned the great Mark Rylance. I presume he's fab, is he?
He is great, but entirely underused. He's in the first half hour-ish and then doesn't appear again until the last 10 minutes. So he is fantastic, and I would not be surprised if he wins Best Supporting Actor out of this. But it would have been great to have much more of him in it.
All right, and I presume if we're talking early 60s and this, we're talking paranoia rules the roost, does it?
In terms of
decisions being made or not made.
It kind of, again, like that's kind of what I was anticipating going in, was a very kind of taut psychological thriller aspect. Instead, it was just lots of people in rooms talking about it.
Yeah, that's kind of very Tinker Tailor as well, though, which of course is what people love if you like a classic Cold War espionage thriller.
Yeah, I would definitely say go check out Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy instead of this. But it's good, but just not as good as I was expecting.
Bridge of Spies is what it is. Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks. Give us another one. What else is on this weekend?
Black Mass.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
True story of Whitey Bulger. Johnny Depp, everyone's saying this is his career resurgence because he's got the bald cap on and he's got his creepy blue contact lenses in and he's playing a real life character. Like, they've forgotten he had just recently played John Dillinger in Public Enemies, which is another gangster. But this one, it's Whitey Bulger, who had set up a deal with the FBI to kind of rat out the other gangs in Boston, and in exchange they would just kind of turn a blind eye to all the illegal doings he was doing.
Just as a matter of interest, Benedict Cumberbatch plays his brother in it, who's a very sort of high ranking politician. Was Whitey Bulger's brother in real life as high ranking as this guy?
He was a state senator.
All
the details in this are entirely, well, mostly accurate.
Right. Joel Egerton is the man in the middle. He's the best thing in the movie, I think.
He absolutely is. The poster and everything about the film is being hinged on Johnny Depp. I was like, Joel Egerton, it was much better.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the film.
Have you seen that movie?
He's the one he directed.
Yeah. And he's the main guy in that too.
That was really good. That was surprisingly good.
Yeah. So scary,
But this, I was expecting more. To be honest, it was a little bit disappointing. It's solid, but it's no The Departed. It's no classic gangster film, which is definitely what it's aiming for.
I actually agree. I think it's actually very good at what it does, and the moral corruption bit is very good. And there's no doubt about it, Whitey Bulger is an absolute scumbag. He's just the worst of the worst. He really is everything about him, you know? And his meeting, the IRA meeting thing, is, oh my God, these two idiots, like guns to kill Irish people as though it's a great thing. All those bits are awful, everything about it. But having said that, he is pretty good in it, Johnny, you know? He's not just that he's back doing something that people want him to do after making a fool of himself trying to be Keith Richards for the fifth time in a row in Pirates of the Caribbean. But he's actually, he's good, you know?
No, he is. It's great to see him, you know, have that opportunity to show off that he's still a fantastic actor. I think he's great in everything. I just think most of the films he's in are not particularly good.
No. The one thing is about Black Mass is, though, I've seen it 5 or 6 times before. It's derivative beyond belief.
Yeah. It's very much someone has seen Goodfellas and let's...
Or someone has seen something,
It
doesn't have any of that.
Let's try to do that again. You can definitely tell that the original cut was over 3 hours and the one we got is 2 hours. It just feels like a bit like a bullet point film. Right. Like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then it's the end of the film.
Then again, as a story of a scumbag, Black Mass is pretty good.
All right. Here's the poster quote.
Give us something else.
The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, well,
if you've
Pixar,
got kids.
Pixar. I haven't seen this. Is it good? I like Pixar.
Remember back when, I guess, when we were younger and kids' movies were a little bit traumatising? I'm thinking like The Land Before Time or The Lion King or Bambi.
Yeah.
Like, something would happen in kids' films that would make the
Lion
kids
King
cry.
And Bambi, my God, that changed people's lives with those movies.
It exposed kids to bad things can happen. Yeah. And I think lately kids' films have been a little bit safe. They haven't traumatized kids lately. But
The Good Dinosaur
is back to correct the traumatizing of the kids. Right. It is harrowing.
So those of you who enjoyed The Late Late last night as a kind of an antidote, you have to go and see The Good Dinosaur and you'll be freaked out, really.
Yeah, the kids will not make it through this without bursting into tears. It is difficult. I can't imagine any child not crying watching this film. And it's surprising.
You're still not saying it's good or bad, though.
Okay, how can I put it? It's beautiful. It's beautiful to look at, but it's very reminiscent of about 15 different Disney films, and from Pixar, who just a couple of months ago gave us Inside Out, which was one of the most original animated films I'd ever seen. To make something this unoriginal was very disappointing. So,
I think kids
will like it when they survive the tears, but it's only okay.
All right, only okay, The Good Dinosaur. But it is Pixar, so it's got to be good, I think. I don't know. Although, then again, I saw Cars too.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go. Is there any more big screen ones?
One, and I'm really excited to talk about this one, is Carol.
Oh, yeah.
The new one from Todd Haynes, who directed I'm Not There. And
Rooney Mara, yeah.
That's the one. Set in 1950s New York. The two ladies are playing. They start off as just as a friendship, but they can't deny the physical attraction they have for each other. But it being 1950s New York, they're of is very much illegal, so they have to keep a lid on it. Never mind the fact that Cate Blanchett's character is already married and Rooney Mara's character has a boyfriend. It's this really lush, elegant, romantic drama, and it's heartbreaking, and the two performances in it are outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. I'd say the two of them, Rooney Mara and Cate Blanchett, could equally be up for Best Actress off the back of this film. It's one of the best films I've seen this year. I can't recommend it enough. It was beautiful. Beautiful film.
And he is a director, I get the impression, that you like when you mentioned his previous movies there, yeah?
Some of the films he's made are some of the more interesting ones. Far From Heaven a couple of years ago was fantastic. He had that Bob Dylan film, I'm Not There.
Yeah.
He made Safe.
Far From Heaven was the rip-off of the Douglas Sirk business from the 50s and all that. And even the way the titles come up and all that. Again, yeah. The loved one Dare Not Speak About and all the rest of it. A pretty harrowing movie, actually.
Yeah, and this one is slightly more romantic, but there's still the whole aspect that the two of them can't be together. And for the whole film, you just want them to be together, but
Where is it based? It's based at a time when they couldn't.
1950s, yeah. Manhattan, yeah. So it's, and plus they're both already in relationships, which kind of doubles down on the problem. And if Cate Blanchett's character is found out to be a lesbian, they could potentially take her son away.
All right.
So they have to keep a lid on their whole relationship. And it's just a matter of two women who love each other, who happen to meet each other at the wrong time.
Okay, so that's your big one in terms of the week. Like, people should definitely go and see Carol, one of your favourites of the year. The Good Dinosaur is Pixar. We've seen better Pixar, but it's good enough. Black Mass, again, good enough. Bridge of Spies, very good, but not excellent.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Something along those lines. All right, good man, Rory Cashin. Thanks a million, Rory. Entertainment journalist, that is. Let's just take a little piece of music here from...